Coach Dan Campbell said they'll hold out tight end Sam Laporta from practice after suffering a recent hip injury. Campbell wasn't sure if Laporta will be ready for week one when the Lions open the season against the Saints. Noah Puka-Nacua on the practice field for the Rams as the wide receiver is sitting out their joint practice with the Saints. Eagles first-round pick wide receiver Mekhi Lemon did return to practice today. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. Oklahoma and head football coach Brent Venables agreed to a six-year contract extension that's worth $63 million. He's now under contract through 2031. James Harden's back with the Cavaliers, agreeing to a new three-year deal worth $97 million, according to ESPN. Day baseball right now. Reds on top of the Cardinals 5-4 as they play in the eighth in Cincinnati. Brewers lead the Mariners 6-2 in the second. Gary Woodland leads the BMW at 6-under.
Fox Sports update on the Right Choice KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, specials on wine, and dinner specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, the California Bureau of Reclamation is increasing Central Valley Project's surface water deliveries. But for those farmers who rely on federal water, the increase means only an additional 3%. Central Valley farmers were only getting 25% of their contracted total this year before the announcement. Fresno County Farm Bureau CEO Ryan Jacobson says this slight water increase is really too late in the growing season to make much of a difference. The summer abundance of U.S.-grown produce makes it a perfect time to enjoy fruit pies and other desserts, highlighting their flavor profiles. In 2024, we grew $6.9 billion worth of seven popular pie ingredients. Production value is highest for apples at $2.9 billion and blueberries at $1.2 billion. Cherries and peaches were $859 and $926 million, respectively. Pecans were $468 million, pears $301, and pumpkins $274 million. Well, the global biopesticides market is projected to nearly double by 2030 as farmers and crop protection companies respond to tighter regulations and growing demand for sustainable production. The market is expected to grow from $8.9 billion in 2025 to $17.68 billion by 2030, a 14.6% annual growth rate. The report says biologicals are gaining traction as growers look for ways to reduce pesticide residues, manage resistance, and complement integrated pest management.
Ranchers and land managers, mark your calendars for the 2026 Grazing Expo, September 10th through the 13th in Billings, Montana. Hosted by the Montana Grazing Lands Coalition, the expo brings together ranchers and industry experts for practical conversations on grazing management, livestock production, ranch profitability, succession planning, and more. Plus, enjoy a trade show, live music, networking, and even a Sunday ranch tour. Register today at montanaglc.org/expo.
With EcoWorks EC from Helena, you can achieve consistent, superior performance from an organic pesticide. EcoWorks EC is a natural insecticide and miticide designed to improve sustainability and handling without compromising performance. It effectively controls a broad spectrum of insects and mites in a variety of crops and markets in both conventional and organic systems. Visit HelenaAgri.com to learn more about EcoWorks EC. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
With your agribusiness update, I'm Bob Larson.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are losing steam in afternoon trading as rising Treasury yields and oil prices are fueling inflation concerns. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent's move to ratchet up bond repurchases had temporarily cooled bond yields yesterday, and he said during an interview today the sizes of longer-dated buybacks could increase even further. In the meantime, oil prices are spiking, with West Texas Intermediate crude nearing $88 a barrel. And disappointing Walmart results are slamming consumer stocks today. Shares of the country's biggest retailer are plunging 9%. 9% after the company posted its smallest sales gain in more than 6 years during its recent quarter. Otherwise, the retail giant reported solid earnings. And Deere reported better than expected quarterly earnings, but not much growth for the agriculture machinery maker was forecast. Shares of Deere are up 7%. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
My name is Whitney Allen, and I'm a widow. My husband Ryan died. We never thought we'd ever have to use life insurance, but the unexpected happened. With Ethos, signing up was fast and 100% online. You can get a quote in seconds, apply in minutes, and get same-day coverage. No medical exams, and you can get up to $3 million worth of coverage. I'm grateful we were prepared.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/term. That's ethos.com/term. Paid spokesperson. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends next on KPRL, brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
A new kind of federal regulation is increasing prices to the consumer and destroying small business. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Murray Wiedenbaum is a former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, now Director of the Center for the Study of American Business at Washington University of St. Louis. In a recent speech in our nation's capital, Dr. Wiedenbaum had bad news for all Americans. A new wave of American regulation threatens to raise prices indiscriminately and drive small businesses into the ground. This new wave of regulation includes such agencies as the Environmental Protection Agency, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. All of these agencies were set up to accomplish laudable goals. Who among us would object to protecting the environment, preventing discrimination, or improving safety conditions for our workers? Indeed, who among us is not in support of such goals? Unfortunately, however, these agencies are so devoted to these particular goals, they pay little heed to what they do to the efficiency of business or to keeping prices low. The forest of a healthy economy, high employment, and low prices is lost for the tree of, say, worker safety. Now, of course, we want safe working conditions, but an agency like OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, is thus all too likely to pursue its mandate to the ultimate. You can make a worker completely safe by taking away his job, and the safest factory or mill is one that's closed down. I'm really not exaggerating. There are now 5,146 different types of approved government forms. Last year, businesses and individuals spent 130 million man-hours filling them out. And this adds some $50 billion to the cost of doing business, which means to the prices we pay. Consider instead a small businessman who must provide an OSHA-approved exit in his office or plant. What is an exit? The dictionary says it is, quote, a passage or way out, unquote. Now, you have to admit those five words describe it for anyone who understands English. But the language of bureaucracy is not that precise. Here is the way the OSHA manual defines an exit. Quote, that portion of a means of egress which is separated from all other spaces of the building or structure by construction or equipment as required in this subpart to provide a protected way of travel to the exit discharge. Unquote. Now that's 39 words, but OSHA says, to grasp that definition, you have to know the definition of a means of egress. And so their glossary supplies the answer. Quote, a continuous and unobstructed way of exit travel from any point in a building or structure to a public way and consists of three separate and distinct parts, the way of exit access, the exit, and the way of exit discharge. A means of egress comprises the vertical and horizontal ways of travel and should include intervening room spaces, doorways, hallways, corridors, passageways, balconies, ramps, stairs, enclosures, exits, escalators, horizontal exits, courts, and yards. Unquote. quote. And after all that, the small businessman realizes that he still doesn't know what an exit is because, as Dr. Wiedenbaum points out, OSHA's been unable to supply a definition of exit that doesn't contain the word exit. Webster uses 5 words, OSHA uses 39, and then another 74 trying to tell you what the 39 said. I'll be back tomorrow with more on the new wave of regulation. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K-Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely. I am your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, we're going to have a very interesting show for you. There is an issue with people, some people that have taken meth. They become very delusional. They become very aggressive. And as many people know, they become dangerous. As a reporter, I have watched, you see men that beat up their wives or attack their family members or kill their parents. And it's often the men that get very aggressive and are delusional and believe someone is hurting them. Very often they have had lengthy meth use. Or they're mentally ill. There's issues with this. But here's the problem. There was this look the other way for drugs issue going on for a while. And they were literally, some of these people were threatening people, delusional, going on their property, wielding guns, and getting slap after slap on the wrist. They wouldn't arrest them. Major, major problems with these people being controlled. And again, these things lead to murders. These things lead to injuries. So there's a gentleman in town. His name is Gabriel Canaday. He has been getting arrested since 2010. So we now have 18 years. We have quite a period of arrest with this man. Then in around 2019, around that period of time, he started harassing Tobin James over at Tobin James Winery. And in this case, and I have Tobin James on the show today, in this case, Tobin James repeatedly sought help and law enforcement wouldn't help him. And they would come out, but then they wouldn't arrest him. And how many times did you call total, Tobin?
We called the sheriff would respond. We called them 45, 50 times. That's just the sheriff's office. I called Ian Parkinson personally when he never returned my phone calls. And he was arrested 19 times in the 6 months that he terrorized us. And to follow up on what you were saying about how these people think is they don't think anything about you. It's all about them and what they're thinking. And there's no empathy for anyone else. They are totally shut off to feelings of any other person when they do this.
And what happened with Tobin James is he became obsessed. He became obsessed that he lived across the street, and he believed in the night he could hear his wife and children screaming, and they were holding them hostage. He brought over guns. He had ammunition. He drove on their property almost daily in golf carts and things, threatening his workers, threatening his family, threatening the people that were there. It was all. How many years did he harass you?
Well, this was a 6-month period in which he terrorized us, and we couldn't get it through to the DA's office that this guy's a threat. He's got guns. His wife called us and said, you know, he shoots guns in the backyard to scare our customers, and I our winery is probably 75% female, and we have 50 employees at the time, and most of them were going to quit, and I've never seen fear in a woman's eyes that wasn't on TV in some horror movie, and it, just the look in their eyes. And when I got no response from Dan Dow down at the for the county, it rested 19 times, and they let him back out, and he's right back on our property. I just said, I'm on my own. There's nobody coming. The guys in the white hats aren't coming. There's nobody going to help me. And
we're gonna get very heavily into what happened at Tobin James, but I have another person. They didn't. We're gonna get very heavily into how Tobin James had to take this into his own hands. But right now we have Steve Drake is calling in, and he can only be on for the first part of the show. Steve, thank you very much for coming on the show today.
How are you doing, Karen?
I'm doing great. I have Tobin James in the studio, but I want to get into, I know you have limited time. I was explaining to the public what happened slightly with Tobin James. We're going to talk about that a little later. But can you, so after he was released from jail, he did end up getting arrested. He went to jail. And when he got out, he moved to a home near your 88-year-old mother. Can you tell the public what he did at what Gabriel Kanade did at that point?
Well, he showed up. My dad had passed away a couple years ago, so she's by herself there. She lives close to our office, so we see her daily. He went in there at night or early in the morning, and she has a shower in a separate garage from the house, but it's within like 50 feet. And it's all connected by a concrete patio. And he went in there and took a shower and made himself at home. And then he showed up at her back door and was knocking on the door and wanted to know if he could come in because he thinks his clothes were in the house. And that's the story that I remember. But obviously that was the case, and so she didn't know, you know, it scared her, of course, but she didn't know who he was or what he really wanted. And she has a couple dogs that they bark and everything, so I don't know if that got him nervous or what, but he then left and went over to our shop, which is on a separate 20-acre parcel that butts up against hers. And then he was over there trying to get in our shop, and our mechanic showed up, and he told me he had a knife, and he wanted in the shop because his airplane was in there and everything else. So,
and there wasn't an airplane. Doesn't have an airplane, and he's been breaking into many properties in this county claiming he's looking for his airplane, which I've been told he doesn't own an airplane.
No, and he's obviously not playing with a full deck, but he's been arrested so many times. You know, and he's a danger, you know, he's a danger to himself and he's a danger to others because, you know, he's going to catch somebody at the wrong time, you know what I mean?
Yes. And so he also then went to your, so he's gone around and they said other people, he had gone on at the same time he was harassing your mother, he had repeatedly tried to enter the San Luis Obispo airport. Regional airport, and your mother lives near there, and your business is near there, and he had entered and gone into secured areas, and TSA actually put out a warning that this guy was dangerous and that they were supposed to be watching for him and calling the police if he arrived. What did you think when in your case they had three crimes in 2000 or the beginning of 2026 against him? They had the robbery of your mother's house, a burglary of your mother's house, and two other crimes. And when Judge Michael Duffy decided not to make it a felony, the prosecutor said, this man is a danger, explained you need to make this a felony. The judge made it a misdemeanor, which meant he served only about a month and a half in jail. and he has no oversight. He's on probation, but it's not formal. He doesn't have to take drug classes. He doesn't have to do checks for drugs. He is doesn't have to check in. He doesn't have to take mental health counseling. He's just out there again. How did that? Well, how did you feel about that?
Well, you see this story play out in the news day after day, and it always ends badly. But unfortunately, what we see is for these activist judges to get a hint, it usually has to hit home. You know, then it's a problem. But when it's just the taxpaying public that we're financing our own harassment with these people, they will not do their job. They think they're helping, but they're not. And it only results in innocent people getting hurt and then innocent people going to jail. I mean, Tobin James got arrested for, how many times do you have to be arrested or be threatened on a guy's property before he has to take cash in his own hands? So I just feel like we live in a society today where we have activist judges who think that everybody deserves a 50-50 chances at the same crime, and they don't want to do anything about the problem that's at hand. And, you know, some tough justice is really the only thing we can hope for to change it. The only way you're going to get these people to behave is to lock them up and forget about it. But the problem with guys like us is if we react, we're the ones going to jail. They won't give us a break. They won't let us out. They won't call it a misdemeanor. You know, we're going away. So our hands are kind of tied. And it's very unfortunate.
And I've actually had two people, I'm not going to name them today, that told me if he went into their homes and harassed them again, they were going to kill him. And so not only could this ruin this man's lives, but if he breaks into somebody's house and they shoot him, they're going to go to jail.
Yeah.
It's kind of a no-win situation.
It's a no-win situation for the victims. It's definitely a no-win situation. The perpetrator in this case, yeah, he could end up with loss of life, which maybe that's what he's looking for in the end. I don't know. When you've been arrested that many times, I mean, the system has failed. I mean, there's just no two ways about it. The system's failing. And now that we all are talking about this and it's kind of more public, if this guy does do somebody in or a family or whatever, then what's the penalty for these judges that elite keep letting them out? I mean, maybe they should go to jail for a while, for about 30 years. I think that'd be a good start.
And one of the things people can do, I almost always see if an incumbent, judges are appointed by the governors. And it's very often political, and it's very often party leadership in your area will pick who they want to be the judges in the area. So they're not elected by the people, but they have to run at the next election. And I see 90-some% of the public, once they're made a judge, they vote them in every chance they get. Somebody runs against them and they still win by 80-90%.
Yes. That's a statistic that is bewilders me because, well, the problem is, you know, most people don't know their record. You know, that it's pretty well, you know, you can find out. But most people in their day-to-day lives don't go look up judges and see how they rule, you know? And that's something that needs to have more light shed on it, you know?
You know what in my situation was, it took 6 months, and when we didn't have any backup from the county, I said, well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't care what happens to me, but if this guy comes through the door with a gun and starts shooting my employees or my family, they left me with no choice but to defend my people and my customers. And I wasn't going to be, you know, this is a situation that anybody couldn't be in. Like, let's say your kids are in a house and this maniac comes in your house. Well, you're going to wait and find out if he shoots everybody, or do you proactive about it? That's basically what they forced me into. I was on my own, and then I get thrown in jail for it.
Exactly, and there is no penalty for being a bad judge or making bad decisions. And let's face it, I mean, any rational human being knows that these are bad decisions. You know, you can call it a conservative issue or a Democrat issue, whatever you want to call it. But at the end of the day, it's just common sense. If you got bad people with mental health problems running around breaking into people's houses, that's a problem. And it's not a conservative problem or a Democrat problem. It's an everybody problem. And they need to wake up. And I don't think that the taxpaying public gets enough credit for being, you know, as patient as they have been. Because at some point in time, those patients are going to run out. And then what do we got? We got chaos.
The victim is the bad guy. The criminal is the one that needs second chances in Canada.
There's no second chance for a victim.
Right. In Kennedy's case, he's I don't know, been arrested 50 times. I
think. 58. He's had 58 charges. Just this year alone, he has been arrested, 13 times just in 2026. This year is half over.
It's a matter of time.
Yeah, he's a time bomb looking for a place, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not good. And, you know, my mom's case, I mean, here she's 88 years old. She lives in a fairly rural area. I mean, not a lot of people come to the door, right? So she's assuming it's somebody she knows probably, or, you know, certainly not expecting that, you know? So it's a problem. And now he knows where we're at.
And I do think you actually, from what I've read in the court records, they did put a restraining order on going anywhere near your mother. So that's why I think he's continuing to go to airport areas, but now he's focused on the airport in Paso Robles.
I think he had an issue in Santa Maria as well. If I remember right.
Yes, he did go to that airport also.
He gets fixated on something. And
we just need to get it figured out to where, you know, the property owners and the taxpaying public are not necessarily the enemy here, you know. Nobody wants to see somebody get hurt unnecessarily, but when you have somebody that has this track record of this guy, he needs to not be out in public. You know, he needs to be locked up. He needs to be treated, and figure out what's actually wrong with him, you know?
I saw him walking down the street a week ago. He's 6'2", 6'3". You know, it's not like he's a little guy, you know, that is harmless, that's for sure. But, you know, right. we don't, as the public, we don't deserve this. And I mean, that PTSD, like you were saying, you know, I'm sure, Steve, your mom sits in her house and looks at the window once in a while, seeing if it's that guy, is he back, you know? Is the devil back on my property? You know, that's how your psyche works sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, you got two dogs that I don't much care for, but they're great protectors of her. I think they're going to eat me every time I show up there. But in this particular case, it's probably the best thing she could have, you know, outside of a weapon that she could use, but she's not going to do that. So if he does show back up, he might become a meal for those two psychotic dogs she has.
I recommend now, after all, you know, we went through his paintball gun. I think that's a pretty good way to go.
Yeah, you got to do something that, you know, well, it'd be nice if the system would recognize this and understand that, you know, these are the people that are getting in trouble here are not necessarily people that are looking for trouble. We're just, you know, trying to protect our land and our families, you know, and the people around us. And you know, if you're not going to look very smart if something bad happens and you did nothing. In your case,
exactly. I wasn't gonna be the guy that didn't do anything. It's just not.
I'd rather sit in jail, knowing that I just did something, rather than, you know, not be in jail and have those dead people that, you know, you care about.
Hey, Steve, thank you very much for calling in. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and we'll be back with more with Tobin James.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
Staying connected is important in today's world. Whether it's hearing the news of a new baby in the family or calling work to let your boss know you're running late, phone service keeps you connected with your world. At AT&T, we know that some Americans face life every day without the comfort and security of having phone service. In certain areas, you may be able to reduce your phone bill with a Lifeline discount if you are in a qualifying low-income household. Additional discounts of up to $25 may be available to those living on federally recognized tribal lands where AT&T offers Lifeline. To find out more about Lifeline and other AT&T products and services, call us at 800-377-9450 or go to att.com/lifeline if you have access to the internet.
Lifeline is a government benefit program, and willfully making false statements to obtain this benefit is punishable by fine or imprisonment and could result in termination of Lifeline service. Lifeline enrollment requires certain eligibility documentation and is non-transferable. Limited to one discount per household. AT&T services, including Lifeline, are not available in all areas. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veeley, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. Today, that was Steve Drake. Steve Drake is a Templeton resident who has a business near the San Luis Obispo County Airport. I also have Tobin James. He's in the studio. We are, and Tobin James, we're going to really get into what happened with Tobin James after the top of the hour. But I want to give you an idea of what is going on and what this is about. And I posted a story on Cal Coast News. San Luis Obispo County repeat offender arrested 6 times in 55 days. And actually, they added another arrest charge on that. So now it's 7 times in 55 days. And he committed 10 crimes, 10 different crimes. So when he got out of jail for going into for the burglary and a couple other crimes in San Luis Obispo, he was told to stay away from Steve Drake's mother. There's a restraining order. You go there, we're going to lock you up. So he wanted to look for his plane some more, so he came up to Paso. And he's been going around Paso Robles and doing things in Paso Robles. So this is in less than 2 months. I want to give you a list of the crimes, just so you can have an idea of what happened because this man got out early. So the first thing he did is on July 17th, he goes into the Paso Robles Inn and food and lodging, uses things, and then he leaves without paying. He was charged with that, arrested, and guess what? They released him the same day. They didn't even keep him at the jail. Then the next day on July 20th, 3 days later on July 20th, See, he was talking to law enforcement. Remember, he's on informal probation, and he gave them a fake name and lied about who he was, and he was arrested and booked into jail on that. He was arrested. He was released the next day. So now we're on July 25th. He was caught prowling on somebody's property. He was asked to leave. He refused to leave. Law enforcement was called. He was arrested for trespassing and prowling, booked into jail, and released the next day. On July 26th, he went into Blaston Brew, tried to leave without paying for what he purchased, and he was arrested again. This time, I think he was released again the next day. On August 8th, he broke into the Paso Robles Airport. He was arrested for being in a secure area, trespassing, and also he had methamphetamine on him. So he has methamphetamine possession and that. And again, he was quickly, I don't even think he was booked that day. Then, that one he was booked. That was a different day. That was, I'm not sure. He went back on August 8th, he went back onto the airport property. He had two arrests at the airport property. The one he was put into jail and then released. The other one was August 8th. And they charged him with that later. They didn't arrest him at the time because they found, I think, through videos that he had been breaking into the airport again. Now we get to August 9th. On August 9th, he goes down to San Luis Obispo. He goes to a home on Mill Street. It's got an ADU in the back of the house. He breaks into the ADU, and then in the middle of the night, he breaks into the house. The 68-year-old homeowner is sleeping. He wakes up, thinks his daughter's downstairs, and then remember, she's not there right now. So he yells, he goes over to the staircase. He realizes somebody's in his house. He yells down. Gabriel Canada runs out the front door. He runs after him. This leads to an arrest for two felony counts of burglary. Burglary of the ADU and burglary of the man's home on Mill Street. He has been in jail ever since. And as is common, he is now claiming that he needs them, or they're now wanting a mental health evaluation. This man has been arrested. He has been charged. He's had 58 charges, and he's been being arrested since 2010. The major arrests, though, started, the major issues actually came about with when he went after the Tobin James Winery property and the delusions that happened after his wife divorced him. And that is what we're going to come back after the top of the hour. And we're going to have Tobin James start with how this started, how this happened, what happened to him, how it impacted his life. Since the Tobin James issue, the law enforcement and the DA, back then there was an issue. They would come in and they couldn't get anything done. And then there was an argument that they needed to be going after him more aggressively, law enforcement and prosecutors. Since then, there was some Tobin James. What is your last name?
Shamrick.
Tobin Shamrick. He really went after promoting, you guys have got to do something, after his issues. And since then, you have law enforcement taking this way more seriously. You have the prosecutors taking this very seriously. But now we have the judges wanting to just give him a slap on the wrist and put him back out in the community with the things that he is doing. And we're gonna talk all about what should be done here, and we'll take your calls after Tobin has a chance to explain what happened on his property. We're gonna take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with Tobin James and Tobin, and you'll learn what happened at the Tobin James Winery property. We'll be right back.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.